Nishmas, Menachem Zev ben Chaim, Gershon ben Baruch, Hirsch Wolf ben Benjamin Alevi, Moshe Yisrael ben Shmuel, Yaakov ben Shmaga Chayav Alevi, Aryeh Leib ben Avram Dov Alevi, and Masha Chaya Bas Asher. We begin with the very bottom line on Mem Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara had previously cited a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish with regard to what is the status when one sells a field only insofar as the right to the consumption of peros is concerned. Do we say kinyan peros is like a kinyan haguf? And therefore, if this fellow brings bikurim, he can recite the psukim, ha'adama asher nasata li Hashem, the land you gave me. That's kinyan peros ke kinyan haguf dami. That's the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Or do we say no? The right to peros is not like a kenyan haguf. That's Reish Lakish. Kenyan peros is lav ke kenyan haguf dami, and therefore when he brings his bikurim, maybe ve'eno kori, he cannot recite those psukim, indicating he is the owner of the land. So Gemara says, v'azdul tamayo, this machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish reflects another machlokes that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish have. To itmar, it was said, Hamocher sadehu bizman shehayovel noeg. If somebody sells his field during a period in time when yovel was in effect, meaning the yovel cycle was in effect, so that when yovel comes around, the field that he sells is going to be returned to the seller. In which case, in essence, every sale of property during a period of history when Yovel was in effect, is really just a sale of peros, because you're going to get back the field itself come Yovel time. So when you sell property, bizman shayovel noeg, Rabbi Yochanan amar mevi vikari, Rabbi Yochanan here as well says you're really essentially selling just the peros, but nonetheless, it's like you're selling the guf hakarka, and therefore the purchaser can bring bikurim and recite the psukim. Reish Lakish amar mevi vikari. Reish Lakish says, no, you're selling just peros. That's not a kinyan haguf. You can't recite the psukim when you bring bikurim. And the Gemara spells it out. Rabbi Yochanan amar mevi v'kore, kinyan peros ke kinyan haguf dami. Reish Lakish amar mevi v'eino kore, kinyan peros is lav ke kinyan haguf dami. So the same machlokas we had with regard to one who sells his field with peros applies to anyone who sells property bizman shayovel noeg. It's ultimately just a kinyan of peros.
According to Reish Lakish, then you would never say it.
So according to Reish Lakish, the only time you would say the psukim of the bikurim is either if you sold a property bizman she'en hayovel noeg, when it's a real kinyan haguf, or if it's not a field that you purchased, it's a field that you got by Yerusha. So the Gemara says, Utsricha. And we need the machlokas of Yochanan and Reish Lakish to be told to us in both the case of Hamocher Sodehu Leperos and the case of one who sells property of his man Shayova Noeg. Why is that? Di'i it ma'biahi, because had you just told me the machlokas of Yochanan and Reish Lakish in the first case, where you explicitly stated, I'm selling you the field insofar as the right to peros is concerned, I would have thought, but he, I'm Reish Lakish, maybe Dafka the Reish Lakish says, kinyan peros is lav ke kinyan aguf dami. Why? Because the ki ka nachis, there, when the purchaser takes possession of the field, I daita de pera ka nachis. He only does so with the intent to take the peros, because it was specified at the time of the sale that I'm selling you the field only insofar as the right to peros is concerned. So maybe dafka there, Reish Lakish says, kinyan peros is not like a kinyan aguf. Aval b'hach, but in this machlokas, where you're selling the property, it's just that yovel will restore the property to the seller. Da daita de gufei karnachis, the purchaser thinks he's purchasing the entire property itself. I would have thought, therefore, ema modula leb Yochanan. Maybe here, Reish Lakish agrees to Yochanan, that Kenyan Paris is Kenyan Aguf Dami. And so to in the reverse, and had you told me the machlokas amroim in this case, where you sell a field bisman shayovel noeg, I might have thought b'ha k'am Reb Yochanan. Maybe dafka here Reb Yochanan says kinyan peris is like a kinyan aguf because your intent was to purchase the entire field. But in the case where you specify I'm selling you only the field insofar as peris are concerned, ema modes le'levish lakish. Maybe in the first case you would have thought Reb Yochanan agrees to lakish that kinyan peris is lav k'kinyan aguf dami. So tzricha. Therefore, we need the Gemara to explain the machlokas is true in both cases. Whether it's a case of mochas de la peros, whether it's a case of mochas de zman, shiel v'noeg, in both cases, Rabbi Yochanan holds kinyan peros is kinyan aguf, and Rosh Lakish holds kinyan peros is lab kinyan aguf. Toshma, bring your rice, says the Gemara. Learn as follows. Hakona ilon vikarko, someone purchases a tree and the soil around it, the land around it. Mevivikore. So you bring Bikurim and you recite the Pesukim. Doesn't that prove that the land is yours? Because we assume Kenyan Peros is like Kenyan Aguf. So the Gemara says no. Hacha Maaskinan is man. She'ein Yovel Noeg. It could be that Mishnah is talking about a case and there's no Yovel. And therefore a sale of property is a permanent sale, Kenyan Aguf sale. Tashma, another Raya, another Mishnah. Says Hakona Shnei Ilonos Besoch Sadeu Shalom. If someone buys two trees in his friend's property, the assumption there is, Rashi quotes the Gemara of Basra, that you don't acquire any land along with it. All you get is the tree, or the trees. So the Gemara says, Din is maybe Ben Akari. You do not reset the Pesukim when you bring Bikurim. It's not your land. So Gemara's Mendayek, that implies Dafka, if you purchase two trees, you don't get the land around it or with it. Hashlosha, but if you purchase three trees, there the din is, says Rashi, that you do acquire the land that's under the trees and between the trees. You get the land that surrounds each tree, enough land to walk around the tree with the basket in hand so you can pick the fruit.
That's considered an orchard already, right? Three or is
right,
it more?
Right. So then the din is Harshlosha Meve Vikore. Apparently, then you are Kona the field that comes with it, or the land in the field that comes with it, and you would recite the Psukim when you bring Bikurim. So isn't that a Raya Kinyan Peris is Kinyan Haguf? So the Gemara says, Hochinami Bisman She'ein Hayov Al-Noi. That Mishnah also is no proof that Kinyan Peris is Kinyan Aguf. It could be that Mishnah is talking about a case where it was a period of time when Yovel was not in effect. So then when you sell property, you're actually selling the property itself. You're not just selling Kinyan Peris. You're selling the actual property. And that's why you recite the Pesukim when you bring the Bikur. Somewhere then responds by saying, V'hashtad Amar Rav Chista. But once Rav Chista says, Machlokas bi Yovel Sheni, but the Machlokas of Yochanan and Reish Lakish is once you are already onto the second Yovel cycle, meaning everyone knows now what to expect, that come Yovel, the field is returned to the seller. So then, that's when Reish Lakish says, okay, the Lokeach knows that he's only getting the field until Yovel. He knows it's only a Kinyan Peris. It's not considered like a Kinyan Aguf.
Does this mean that second Yovel in his lifetime?
No, in history, Rashi says. Second Yovel Shemanu Yisrael, right. However, Ava B'Yovel Rishon, but the very first Yovel they observed in Eretz Yisrael, when people weren't yet familiar with the way the system worked, so to speak. So then, says Rav Chista, Tiviakol Mevi V'Kore. Even Reish Lakish would agree in that case that the Kinyan Peris is like a Kinyan Aguf. Why? Because the Lekech yet wasn't fully aware that, oh, this is just a temporary sale until Yovel comes around. He actually viewed it as a permanent sale. So then, even Reish Lakish agrees, Kinyan Peris is Kinyan Aguf. So once you have this caveat of Rav Chista, so the Gemara says, so now you can answer the previous Mishnayos as follows. Lokasha. the previous Mishnahs that imply Kinyan Peres is Kinyan Aguf are not riots against Resh Lakish, because we can say very simply, Ha B'Yavol Rishon, Ha B'Yavol Sheni. These two Mishnahs that seem to imply Kinyan Peres is Kinyan Aguf are perhaps talking about the very first Yovel in Jewish history. That at that time, they weren't yet used to the din of selling the field for a temporary period of time. They viewed it as if it's a permanent sale, in which case, maybe Resh Lakish would agree in that case that Kinyan Peres is Kinyan Aguf.
So nobody learned Gemara in 50 years, nobody learned Mishnahs, nobody learned... I mean, they learned it in the desert.
You could have known it intellectually, but when you purchase the field, it feels like it's my field. It wasn't vivid yet. It wasn't like real. You think of it as theoretical, but until you actually live it, it's not like a real experience to you. So when they purchased it, what was the das that they went into the field with? They went to the das, oh, this is my field, right? Anyway, they're in for a shock when suddenly it's no longer theirs. Mm-hmm. They might have known it, but like until you actually experience it, it's a different experience. Okay. Next. Lema Ketanoim. Let's suggest this machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Resh Lakish, whether Kinyan Peres is Kinyan Aguf or not, is really a machlokas Tanoim. Why is that? So we need a bit of an introduction here. Rashi gives us the introduction based on the Psukim and Parshas Bat, the Chukosai, which is as follows. When you sell, when you are a makdish a field, if you are a makdish a field, and the gizbar of Hekdish then sells it. A makdish a field, the gizbar sells it, now it's Yovel time. So the gizbar has sold it, come Yovel, we take it from the lokeach, and where does it go now? Does it go to Hekdish? In which case it would be divided amongst the Kohanim, who are serving in the Mikdash at that time? Or does it go back to the original owner before it was declared Hekdish? So Rashi tells us, the Psukim and B'chukosai tell us, is a distinction. What kind of field were you makdish? Were you makdish a sde achuza, a field that was part of your inheritance? If that's the case, if you're makdish a field that was your inheritance field, and the gizbar sells it, comes Yovel, it goes to the Kohanim. But if you were makdish a field that you had purchased, and the gizbar sells it, come Yovel time, it goes back to the original owner whom the makdish had purchased it from. Okay? So that's the very important distinction in Parshas B'chukosai between Ste Achuza and Ste Mikna. Ste Achuza, Pasuk says that... Right, it says that when it comes time for... If the gizbar had sold the field and it comes time for Yovel, it goes to the Kohanim. It goes to the Kohanim. the Kohanim who are serving during that Mishmar when Yom HaKippurim of Yovel falls out. But if it was a Ste Mikna, a field that you didn't inherit, but a field that you had purchased, that you were Makdish, and then the Gizbar sells it, come Yovel, it goes back to the one whom you had purchased it from. Okay, that's the din in Parshas B'chukosai. Fine. So now the Gemara says as follows. Le'mikathnoi, with that background in mind, let's suggest the Machlokas of Yochanan and Resh Lakish about Kinyan Peres, Kikinyan Aguf, or Lav, Kikinyan Aguf, is really Machlokas Tanayim. Why? Because we learned as follows. Let's say you buy a field from your own father, Vikdisha, and you're makdish it. Vachakach meis aviv. And then the father dies. Minayin shetehei lefanav kisteachuza. So how do we know that come Yovel time, we treat this as a steachuza, in which case it goes to the Kohanim? It's a steachuza because you, the Makdish, would have been in line to be Yorish this field. I, at the time that I was Makdish, I had purchased it from my father. My father was still alive. So in that sense, it's like a purchased field. But even though I had purchased it from my father, and then I was Makdish, but once my father dies, it's a field that looking back, I would have been Yorish. So now when Yovel comes around, we treat it as a steachuza, and it goes to the Kohanim. How do we know this? Because the pasuk says, "In es sde miknaso, asher lo misteachuzaso." When the pasuk speaks of a sade mikne, a field that you purchased and you're makdish, it says a field that you purchased that is not a field of inheritance. So the Gemara darshes that to mean soda she'ena ru'uya lios steachuza. The fact that Torah has to emphasize not a steachuza means it's a field that was never even theoretically going to become a steachuza. Yot sezu, but here, the field that you purchased from your father, shiru'uya lios steachuza, it would have become a steachuza had you left it alone. Your father dies, it would have been yours. So therefore, this field is not treated like a stei mikna, it's treated like a stei achuza. Come Yobel time, it goes to the Kohanim. Div Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Shimon, this is the Shita of Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Shimon. Because once again, at the time that you were makdish it, it was roy to become a stei achuza. Had your father died, it would have been a stei achuza. Therefore, it doesn't have a din of stei mikna. And Rashi adds, certainly, had your father died first, and then you were makdish it. Well, of course, then it has the status of a stei achuza. The chiddush here is that even at the time of hektish, my father was still alive, and it wasn't yet a stei achuza, but because it was roy to become a stei achuza, it's treated like a stei achuza. Whereas the Gemara then quotes, Reb Meir Om, Reb Meir says, no. Minayin lelokeach sada me'avav. I think the case is, says Reb Meir, you purchased the field from your father, Umeis aviv, first your father dies, v'charka chagdisha, then your makdisha. Minayin shetehilafanav kesteachuza. How do we know that in this case, it's a steachuza, and kam yovel it goes to the Kohanim? Tamalomar, im es ste miknaso, asher lo miste achuzaso. Pasuk says, same pasuk we quoted before, a soda that you purchased that is not a soda of your achuza. And we darshan, soda she'ena ste achuza, dafka field that is not your ste achuza, is considered a ste mikna and goes back to the original owner come yovel time. Yatzazu, that excludes this field, which again, you were makdish after your father died. She's steachuza. It already is a steachuza at the time of hektish. That's the type of field that is a steachuza that goes to the Kohanim come Yovel time. That's Reb Meir. Okay, so Reb Meir limits the pasuk. We're talking about a case where you bought the field from your father. Your father dies then. Oh, now it's a steachuza. Then you makdish it. Oh, okay, that's a steachuza. But according to Meir, had you purchased the field from your father and you were makdish it before he died, and only after your makdish it he dies, that's not a steachuza. Because when you were makdish it, at that point in time, your father was still alive. So it's a stei mikna, it's a field that you purchased from your father, that you're makdish.
So it didn't have the potential of being...
Meaning, even though it did have the potential to become a steachuza, but because you were makdish it before it became a steachuza, right, in the case where you purchased it, makdish it, and then dies,
okay.
At the time of the hektish, it was not yet a steachuza. So according to Meir, that's a stei mikna. Rabbi Yehuda and Shimon say, no, it could have become a steachuza, it would have become. So even though when you're makdish it, it was not yet a steachuza, but it's treated like a steachuza in that case too. Somebody says, v'ilu Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon. So according to Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, in the case that Rabbi Meir just discussed, of meis aviv v'chaka chakdisha, where the father dies and then you're makdish it, well, they hold in that case, it's pashut. Well, it's pashut in that case that it's a steachuza because your father died first and then you're makdish it. In that case, you don't need a pasuk according to Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. That's obvious. So my lav b'akum afligi isn't the machlokas tanoim as follows. Derab Meir Sovar, Kenyan Paris, Kenyan Haguf Dami. A Meir Lechora holds, Kenyan Paris is like a Kenyan Haguf. And therefore, Ubaha, b'misas aviv, who delo yaris velo midi. So if when you purchased the field from your father in the first place, it was a kinyan peiros, which was, according to Meir's opinion we're suggesting, was treated as a kinyan aguf. When the father dies, nothing changes. Why? Because I already had a kinyan aguf when I purchased it. Nothing changes with my father's death. It doesn't become a steachuza because he died. Because I already owned kinyan peres, which was a kinyan aguf based on my purchase of the field. So nothing changes in terms of my possession of the field with my father's death. That's not steachuza yet. The hilkach, therefore, according to Meir, mace of a vachakach ekdisha, only if the father dies and then you're makdish it, tzarachkra. That's when I need a pasuk to tell me that it's still considered a steachuza. So again, according to Meir, without a pasuk, I would have thought that if my father dies and then I'm makdish it, it's not a steachuza. Why? Because since he holds kinyan peres is kinyan aguf dami, so when the father dies, nothing changes in terms of your ownership of the field. Therefore, I would have thought it does not become a steachuza yet. So that's why I need the pasuk to tell me that no, that even in this case where you purchased it, your father died, and you makdish it, it's considered steachuza, the pasuk's machadish to me, according to Meir, even though nothing changed in my possession of the field with my father's death because I had a kinyan peres, a kinyan aguf beforehand. The pasuk's chiddush is, it's still considered a steachuza. Whereas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Sabri, kinyan peres, lav kinyan aguf dami. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon say, when you purchased the field from your father, you did not yet have a kinyan aguf. Ubaha b'misas aviv. So if your father then dies before hektish, it becomes a steachuza. You earn now for the first time a kinyan aguf when your father dies. So therefore, the hilkach meis aviv v'chakeh chetisha lo tzricha kra. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon say, because we hold kinyan peres as lav kinyan aguf dami, and if when your father dies, it becomes now kinyan aguf, that means it became a steachuza. So then, that's pashut that in a case where I bought it, my father dies, I'm makdish it, it's pashut that's a steachuza. What's the chiddush of the pasuk? The chiyitzchich kra, the chiddush of the pasuk is lehekadisha v'char kach meis aviv hu deitzchich. The chiddush of the pasuk is that if you are first you purchase it and then you're makdish it, right? And then your father dies, that's the chiddush of the pasuk, that even though he died after your makdish it, it still has the din of a steachuza because at the time of hektish, it was ra'oi to become a steachuza. So the Gemara suggests that this is machlokas tamayim. Is kinyan peres kekinyan aguf dami or not? If kinyan peres is kekinyan aguf dami, then it's pashut that when the father dies before hektish, it's a steachuza. The pasuk is then mechadish that if the father, if you're makdish it first and then the father dies, it's a steachuza. I'm sorry, rephrase that. If you hold kinyan peres, it's kinyan aguf dami. Then when you purchase the field and your father dies, nothing changes in your ownership. So if you purchase the field and your father dies and then you makdish it, I need pasuk to tell me in that case that it's still considered a steachuza. Whereas if you shouldn't say, kinyan peres is lav kinyan aguf dami. And therefore, when you purchase the field from your father, and then he dies, it's pasha that becomes a steachuza at that moment. The chiddush of the pasuk is that even if you're makdish it first, and then your father died, that's also considered steachuza. So Gemara says, no, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Le'olam, Ein Melacha, Be'alma, Kasabi, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, Kinyan, Peres, Kekinyan, Aguf Dami. It could be Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon really hold that kinyan peres in general is like a kinyan aguf. Now, if that's the case, then I would have thought, should have thought, that if I purchased the field for my father and my father dies, nothing changes because I had a kinyan aguf beforehand. So I would have thought that the pasuk being mechadish, that in a case where I purchased the field, my father dies and I makdish it, I would have thought the pasuk being mechadish that in that case, purchase, death, hektish, the field is considered Astei Achuza. Sigmar says, no, but Hacha, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Kra Ashkechu V'Darosh. Yehuda and Reb Shimon still insist the pasuk is referring to a case where you were makdish at first and then your father died. That's considered a steyach luzah there. Why? Because if the pasuk was referring only to a case where the father died first, and then you makdish it, if that were the case, lichto rachmana im es stey miknaso asher lo achuzaso. Pasuk could have said, a stey mikna, that is not his achuza. My mistey achuzaso. Why the extra word of stey achuzaso? To teach me that even in a case where the father stole to the field, you're makdish it, and then he dies, even though at the time of Hektish, before he died, it was not yet a stey achuza, but the drasha is to tell me as follows. Sada she'ena ru'uya lios sada achuza, that a stey mikna is dafka field that is never roy to be a stey achuza. In this case, where you're makdish it and your father dies, it was roy to be a stey achuza, and therefore it is considered stey achuza. It goes to the kohanim at Yovel. Fine. So no raya from this brisa that's machlokas tanoim. Could be everybody agrees that in Paris is kikinyan guf dami. Next, Amar Rav Yosef says, Ilav de Amar Rav Yochanan kinyan peros kikinyan guf dami. Rav Yochanan did not say, if he would not have said kinyan peros is kikinyan guf, so then Lo matzah yodav v'raglav v'beis ha-medrash. It would be impossible for Rabbi Yochanan to be consistent. How so? So I'm Rav Asi, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Because Rav Asi says the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Ha'achin shechilku, brothers who inherit their father's estate, and they divide it up. Luku chosein, it's as if they purchased their shares from one another. And therefore, Machzirin zelzebi yovel. Come yovel time, they have to return their properties to the estate and redivide it up again. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, that when brothers inherit property, it's as if they purchased the property one from the other. So that means we apply the machlokas of kinyan peres kinyan aguf dami. If you were to say kinyan peres is lav kinyan aguf, so the Gemara asks, the isok adaitach lav kinyan aguf dami. If Reb Yochanan says that when brothers inherit an estate and divide it up, it's as if they purchased it, and he were to also say kinyan peres is lav kinyan aguf, then lo mashtachas demaisi bikurim. Then no one would ever be able to bring bikurim and say the psukim. Why? Because even a Yerusha, we're saying now, if you hold of lav kekinyan aguf dami, and you hold that achet shechilku are like lekuchos, if you put those two together, then even when you're Yerusha property, you can't be made vikori, because, yes, I inherited it, but my inheritance with my brothers is like we each purchased it from each other, and by purchases you say kinyan peres is lav kekinyan aguf dami, then how can a Yerush ever say psukim by bikurim? The only exception to the rule would be Elachad, Bachad, Adishu Benun. Yeah, if you have a family line going back to the days of the Nachala of Yeshua Benun, where it's father and one son, father, one son, father, one son, then every Yerusha is a Yerusha, not a Kenyan of Lekuchos, then you say Mefi Vikari. But if you hold like a Yochanan, that every time there's Yerusha with more than one son, it's by definition, it's like a Mechira and a Lekuchos, and you were told like a Shlokish, Kin Paris Lav Kin Aguf, then how could you ever say Mefi Vikari? Elamai must be there. Biochan holds Kinyan Peres is Kinyan Aguf, and therefore, even though he views all brothers who are Yorish to be like Lokhim, it's okay, you can still say Bikurim, Sukhima Bikurim, because Kinyan Peres is Kinyan Aguf. Next, Amar Rav Rava says, Kwa umathnisim asaila Rish Lakish. I have a ride from Sukhim and Bryce's to Rish Lakish. Kwa, what's the ride from the Pasuk? Amar Beis. The mispar shnei tibuos yim kolach. When you sell during a tkufa when Yovel has no egg, you sell a property, sell it based on the number of years of produce that remain until Yovel. So what does that mean? It means the pasuk itself is saying that bottom line, you're selling peros, you're not selling the karka. You're selling the peros. That's what the pasuk says, charge him based on how many years of produce are left until Yovel. That sounds like, kineperos, la kikin aguftami. Masnisa, the right for the Bryce is as follows. The Tana of the Bryce says, Bechor no topishnaim, besada hachozeres l'aviv biyovel. A Bechor is entitled to double portion in a field that the father had sold that is being returned on Yovel. And that also implies that Kenyan Paris is lav kekenyan aguf dami. Why? Because if Kenyan Paris is kekenyan aguf, then when the father sold the property during his lifetime, like he sold the land too. So even though the land is being returned during Yovel to the Yorshim, but that's what we call in Halacha with regard to Bechor being Yorsh Peshnaim, we refer that to that as Ra'oi, not Muchzak. It's something which the estate doesn't have now, but will be coming to the estate. You don't get Peshnaim in that. A Bechor only gets Peshnaim in Muchzak, that which the estate currently has. If there's an outstanding loan, let's say, that's owed to the estate, the Bechor can't claim Pishnaim in that outstanding loan. Because at the time of the death, is it here? Or it's going to come? Oh, it's going to come? No Pishnaim. You get Pishnaim in what's here. So if a father sells a field and dies, and it's coming back Yovel time, so that Bechor should be viewed as, oh, Ro'e Lovo, it's going to come. No Pishnaim in that. The fact that the price says that the Bechor gets Pishnaim in that field means it never was really totally sold. It really is still here at the time of death. Because it wasn't a Kenyan goof that was sold, is a Kenyan payros that was sold. Which is why it could very well be that if a man dies, he leaves a massive savings account, $1 million in a savings account. The Bechor can't claim Pishnaim, cannot claim Pishnaim. Savings account is like a debt. You lend money to the bank. Bank owes it back to you. It's a debt that is payable upon request. It's like a chov. Are you muchzik it? Does the estate own it right now? No, it's a lender owes me money. So here the Bechor doesn't get Pishnaim then. That's considered roi, lavo, not muchzik. You might not get Pishnaim in bank account. Gets Pishnaim of the house, of the real estate, not what's owed. Finally, the Gemara says, Amar Abaye says, Naktinu paskin, ba'al benechse ishto, when a husband goes to court regarding his wife's properties, tzarech hasha, because he doesn't own the actual property, all he has is right to peros, his right to the peros is not like a kinyan haguf, and therefore if he's going to go to court to litigate about the property with someone in court, the other opponent can say, you're not the one in charge, so this husband has to get a shtar hasha from his wife, appointing him to represent her as the owner of the karka to deal with it in court. However, the Gemara says, "V'lo aman elad v'lo nakas haperi." That's only true if they're debating and discussing, litigating the status of the karka itself, not the peros. Aman nakas haperi, but if they're fighting about the peros, and if the husband does have rights to, it's his, then we say, "Migu d'mishtai din haperi," since he's the rightful representative in court with regard to the peros, you can also deal with the litigation in court related to the property itself. New parak. Hanizakin. Someone suffers property damage and is now seeking payment from the one who caused the damage. Shaman lahen be'idiyas. So we look at the top quality property that the mazik owns, and we give the victim of the damage an amount of that top quality property. So even though he had a choice of getting more karka from a lower quality field or less karka from a higher quality field worth the same amount of money, he gets from the better quality field, the idius, a smaller amount of land from a better quality field. That's what we mean by the nizik gets from the idius. For Balchov, let's say you lent me money, you're coming to collect now property as payment for your loan. The Beninus, you can take the middle level field, the average quality field. Ksuba Isha, a woman seeks to collect her ksuba from her husband's estate, busy burus, she gets from the lowest quality field. That's the din. And Tosus quotes the Gemara later on that explains that we want to encourage men to marry women. So we tell the guy, listen, I know Chazal imposed this ksuba on you, but don't worry, I should only take from the lowest quality field, not your best quality field. I'm trying to make it as easy as possible for them to be willing to agree to marry the woman. Okay. And Mira of Mira says, Af ksubas isha b'benenis, even the collection of a ksuba is done from the average quality field. Ein nifran min chasim mishubadim, you can't seize property that had been sold when someone owes you money. B'makam, sheish, nechasim b'nechorin. If the borrower who owes you the money, let's say, still has real estate of his own that he hasn't sold, well, you can't say, oh, I want the field that you sold, if the borrower still has property of his own. You have to take first the property he himself still has.
Only unencumbered.
Okay.
The word, right?
The unencumbered?
Mm.
Okay. Good. Next. Vafilu hen ziburus. Even if all that remains in the possession of the one who owes you money is the lowest quality field, and you're his ex-wife collecting ksubas isha, for example, or you're the Baal Chov collecting money owed on the loan, and you might be entitled, if you're Baal Chov, to get a better quality field. According to Meir, even ksubas isha, you're entitled to a better quality field. The din is, if only property he has in his possession is ziburis, that's what you're stuck with. That's all you get. Next din. Einifron minichsei somen. Elamene ziburis. When you collect from properties that were inherited by orphans, all you can take is the lowest quality field. Ein motzien lachilas peros. You can't take money for the cost of and the value of the peros. Ulashvach karkos, or for the value of the work you put into a field. Both these cases, says Rashi, refers to the following. Reuven steals a field from Shimon and then sells it to Levi. Shimon comes to court and says, that's my field. It was stolen. Okay, the court says to Levi, sorry, give it to Shimon. The second, Levi paid for the field. So he goes back to the Goslin. You gotta pay me the cost of the field. One second, Levi invests in the field. He
fixes it,
planted, harvested, whatever. He grew, cultivated peros. He goes to the Goslin and he says, pay me not just the cost of the land that I gave you, but pay me the value of the peros that I just lost. Shvach karkos. He fertilized it, he hired landscapers, whatever he did. He goes to the Goslin and says, pay up. I invested in the field and made the field worth more. Now, Rashi says that the expenses that the purchaser incurred, that he collects from the victim of the theft. He collects the value of the expenses. The purchaser then goes back to the thief who sold it to him, and he recoups his purchase price, and the value of the payers that he lost, he also gets from the Goslin, that he gets from the Goslin as well. And so too, the increase in the value of the field that resulted from the Lokeach's investment in the field, so that he also gets from the Goslin, from the seller. So that's the Mishnah says, Ein motzien lachilas peros. When the purchaser collects money for the value of the peros, for the shvach karkos, or for the increase in value of the property he invested in. For the Muslim ha'isha habanos, or if you're collecting from an estate to pay off the food costs of the widow and the daughters, you don't take any of these payments min chasim mishabadim from properties that were sold tipnei tikkun olam because of a tikkun. All the dinim in the Mishnah are tikkun. Motzei Metzia, someone who finds and returns a lost object. Lo Yishava, you can't force him to swear that he gave you back everything. Ipnei Tikkun Olam, because that's also Takana. This Gemara asks, Ipnei Tikkun Olam, the dinim in the Mishnah are only based on Takana. Doraisihi, these are dinim Doraisa. How do we see this? The Chassid, it says, Metav Sadeu, Umetav Karmo Yishalem. My ox damages your field, I pay the best of the field, the best of the Kerem. So doesn't that imply that mid-oraisa, you pay from the best quality field that you have? Not just mid-rabbanon? Amabai lo tzricha. The chiddush of the Mishnah is elo b'shmo, according to b'shmo. So Amar, he says that mid-oraisa b'dinizik shamirah. He says mid-oraisa, when you assess how much to pay and what quality field to pay from, so you look at the best field that the Nizuk has. As Midoraisa, you look at the quality of the best field the Nizuk has. And that's the quality field that the Mazik has to pay. Meaning, even though the Mazik has a higher quality field, and in relation to the Mazik's property, the Nizuk's top field is only an average quality field. The Mazik doesn't have to give his best quality field to pay. He has to give the quality field that matches the best quality the Nizuk has. Even though in the Mazik's collection of properties, this is not his best field, we assess Midoraisa, the quality of field that you pay from, based on the Nizuk's ownership of property. So Kamashon, the chiddush of the Mishnah is that Metikin Olam, in order to discourage and deter people from damaging other people's properties, Shaminam be the Masik. We make the Masik pay from his highest quality field. We make it more painful for him. So he'll be more careful to avoid causing hazard. My Rishmo, where do you see Rishmo says that Midoraisa, you look at the Nizik's properties? Time of the Rishmo says, Metav Sadeu or Metav Karmo Yishalem. Pay the best of his field, best of his Karim. Metav Sadeu Shal Nizak or Metav Karmo Shal Nizak. The Rishmo, Rishmo says that Medat Torah, you're paying the best quality field based on the properties owned by the Nizak. Kiva Omer, Kiva says, Loba Kasuv. Ella, Likbos Lenazikin, Minna Edias. What the pasuk means to say, according to Bikiva, is not to tell me, like Rabbi Shmuel seems to say, that you always pay from the best quality field that the Nizuk owns, even if the field that was damaged was a lower quality. No, we're not looking to make you pay a better quality than what you damaged. Rather, says Rabbi Akiva, Pasuk is telling me that when you collect payment for the Nezek, you collect, once again, from the Idias. Labal Kasu, Pasuk's not telling me, says Rabbi Akiva, that you pay according to the best quality field the Nezek owns, even if the type of field that you damaged was a lower quality. Rather, the pasuk is telling me, according to Rabbi Akiva, Ligbos lenezikin min idias v'kal v'chomer lehektish. Pasuk is telling me that the amount of money you pay for the field that you damaged is paid from your mazik's best property. And certainly for hektish also, when you maktish something, it's coming from the best property that you have. So, stop here up to Rabbi Shmuel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so stop here. We're saying now that according to Rabbi Shmuel, Meikar Din Daraisa, you're supposed to pay according to the best quality field, seemingly of the Nizuk, or equal to his best quality field. And Kanas Chazal is, they know, you pay from the best quality field of the Mazik. Okay, stop there for today.
Thank you, Rabbi.